the Buddha, it is said that from time to time, or maybe daily, he spoke to Venerable Rahula. You know who Rahula was? This was his former son. And there is a set of verses, and the first verse is this, that I just, actually it is half of the first verse. Panchakama gune hitva piyarupe manorame saddhaya gara nikkhamma dukkhasanta karo bhava. What that means is giving up the attachment to sensual pleasures. Panchakama gune hitva. Panchakama guna is the pleasing the senses. That is looking at beautiful things, hearing beautiful sounds, smelling beautiful or pleasant perfumes, and tasting pleasant food, and feeling pleasant touches. Now the Buddha says to give up all that, and dukkha santa karo bhava. In order to bring an end to the pains or the unpleasant experiences of existence, that existence is something unpleasant, but we normally try to hide this fact, cover this fact by focusing on the pleasures. This is why some people want to connect this microscopes into the ear and be listening all the time while they are going in the buses or the cars or the trains or planes. They want to just keep on listening to music. I don't know whether it was music or something else, but somehow people fix these things into the ears and keep on listening. This is because they are not able to look at the realities of life. The reality of life is that from the moment we are born, we are in the process of dying. We are approaching death. Every moment we are approaching death. And before death comes old age. And after old age, there comes sickness, which can never be cured until you die. So you have to take medicine till you die, that kind of sickness that comes when you are old. So every moment we are really approaching death from the time we are born. Sometimes the babies die. Sometimes death comes. When you are grown up, maybe 4 years or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, there is no fixed time to die. Everyone can die at any moment. But we don't want to look at that. We don't want to see that. And we cover this up with enjoyments of sensual pleasures, which are also impermanent. There is no pleasure which is permanent. So this is how life is. This is why the Buddha tells our venerable Rahula to give up these sensual pleasures in order to gain freedom from the sufferings of existence itself. Now, last time we spoke about how to attain the jhanas. Now, jhana, I said, is a state of purity of mind. When the mind is free of what are called the hindrances or nivaranas, the pancha nivarana, the 5 hindrances, the desire for sensual pleasure, the anger, and then the laziness and sleepiness and worries and anxieties and vacillation or oscillation in the mind. The oscillation is like the clock that goes from one end to the other. Our mind is also going from one end to the other. Our emotions begin to pull in one direction, and our thinking part begins to pull in another direction. So we begin to follow the emotions. We are carried away by the emotions. And after some time, we begin to feel guilty about it. And then we begin to think we are going in the wrong direction. And we think, no, now I must do some meditation. And begin to meditate. Then, after some time, you get bored with meditation. There is no pleasure we begin to think. Now I can enjoy a little, and you go back to the other extreme. So our mind is all the time going from one extreme to the other. That is the vacillation or the oscillation. That is the meaning of vichikiccha. It is not doubt. It is the wavering state of the mind. The mind that is not fully in one direction. The meaning of the word ekagata is to have the mind in one direction. But the mind is split into two, going in two different directions. That is the opposite of that, vichikiccha. But when the mind is purified and free from these emotions, the mind remains still, and then we can act according to our reason, to act intelligently. That is the ekagrata, one-ended mind. Eka agga, eka means one, agga means the end. So that is the purification of the mind. When the mind is purified, our thinking process is simply the formation of a concept in the form of a question and an answer. We might question, what is this? And we might answer, this is breathing in. Then we might question, what is this? And we answer, it is breathing out. So like that, these are simple thoughts or concepts, but not the emotional thoughts. So the mind is free of the emotional thoughts, and we find only the calming thoughts. And when the mind is purified and tranquil in this way, the mind feels happy. That happiness is observed. And with that happiness, the body relaxes. And when the body relaxes, we begin to feel comfortable. And when the body is comfortable, the mind becomes stilled. It is not going anywhere. It stays calm. That is the meaning of ekagrata. It's not divided. So when you experience those five things, vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagrata. Vitakka, vichara means that questioning and answering, which is the formation of a concept. Piti is that happiness. Sukha is that comfort. And ekagrata is that stillness of the mind. So when those five conditions are present and it remains for a time, now at the beginning it might remain only for 1 second. And as you progress, it might remain for 2 seconds. And it can go on till it becomes 1 minute. Then it might stay like that for 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, or 10 minutes, or 50 minutes, or 1 hour, or it can go for 2 hours. Or 3 hours. It can even go for 12 hours or even 24 hours. And as you progress, your mind can remain in that state as long as you wish. That is entering the first jhana. Now you can calm the mind even beyond that. When you calm the mind beyond that, the conceptual thinking stops. The question and answer stops. The thinking stops. But you are aware. You can be aware of things, but you don't think about those things. You might see an object, but you don't even identify the object. And that is the second jhana. There is piti, the happiness is there, there is the comfort, and there is the stillness of the mind in the second jhana. You can calm the mind further, and when the mind calms down further, the happiness also stops. You feel comfortable, and there is the stillness of the mind. Happiness is seen at that point as a disturbance of the mind. Then you are in the third jhana. Then you can calm down further. When the mind calms down further, that comfort also disappears. That doesn't mean that it becomes uncomfortable. Both comfort and discomfort disappear. So it's a neutral feeling. And with that, there is stillness of the mind. And the mind is focused within. The mind is not focused on external things. The mind is fully focused within. That is the fourth jhana. How it is possible to calm the mind even beyond that? Now, when you enter the fourth jhana, all emotional excitements, even the most subtle emotional excitements, stop in the fourth jhana. I told you, when we speak of the mind, there are three main things: the chitta, the mano, and the vijnana. The chitta, the mano, and the vijnana. Chitta refers to the emotional part. Mano refers to the thinking part, and the vijnana refers to the perception part. Perception means seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. That thinking part is verbal, really. Verbal means we think in words. We are forming concepts, and every concept is a verbal expression in the form of a sentence. That doesn't mean that we are speaking. producing sounds. We are only thinking. So the mano is the thinking process, which is the activity of the brain. Now, when we enter the fourth jhana, that emotional part has stopped. There is no emotions at that point. Even the most subtle emotional excitement, like being happy or even comfort itself, has disappeared. That is the perfect stillness of the mind. Now, when we calm further, what happens is the cognitive process begins to calm down. Even the perception, the process of perception calms down. And what happens is, even if we open our eyes, we don't see any object. What we see is empty space. That is called the realm of infinite space. The realm of infinite space. You have entered the realm of infinite space. Then you can calm down the mind even beyond that. And you give up even seeing empty space. And when that happens, you are simply aware that you are aware, that's all. Your awareness is focused on awareness. Your mind is focused on awareness itself. You are not aware of empty space. You are aware of awareness. Then you calm down further. You give up even focusing on awareness. And when you give up focusing on awareness, you are aware of nothing. You are aware of nothing. During the time of the Buddha, when he gave up his princely life and went into the forest, became a hermit, there were what are called yogis who were very advanced in meditation. And he went to learn from one of the yogis. He was called Alar Kalam. He had reached that state. That state of calming the mind to the point where you are aware of nothing. That is called the Akinchanyayatana. The first one was empty space, which was akasanam chayatana. Then being aware of, being aware, that was vijnanam chayatana. And now, being aware of nothing was akinchanyayatana. And he learned from that yogi how to enter that state. But he wanted to go further. So he went to another yogi, who is called Uddakaramaputta. And this Uddakaramaputta said, I have also reached only that state of coming to the nothingness. I don't know how to go beyond that. But my teacher, who was Uddakarama, this Uddakaramaputta was really the disciple of Uddakarama. But he said his teacher had reached a higher level, but he has not reached that level. So he said, I can tell you what my teacher told me about that. And if you like, you can try that. So he said, okay, and he learned that. And ultimately he entered the other state, which is a state of neither sensation nor no sensation. Came to a point where you don't feel. You can't say you are feeling sensations, you can't say you are not feeling any sensations. That is what is called the threshold of consciousness. Threshold, you know, is, now if you go into a room through a door, just at the door is the threshold. You are not in this room or in the other room. That is the threshold. So this is the threshold of consciousness. It's neither sensation nor no sensation. The threshold of awareness. So he was able to attain to that level. But he wanted to go beyond this. So there was no one to teach him that. So this Uddakaramaputta said, you have now reached the level of my teacher, so I will treat you as my teacher, you stay here with me. He said, no, I am not interested in being your teacher, I want to go further. And he went on his own, and he saw that there was no one else to teach him to go beyond that. So what he did was, he went and joined a group of ascetics. The five ascetics. They were called the Panchavaggye Bhikkhu, the five ascetics. And he started doing asceticism, giving all kind of discomfort and pain. He even started fasting, and then he even tried to stop the breathing. But these things didn't work. Ultimately, he was so exhausted with that he fell and fainted. And then when he woke up, he thought, this is not the way, and I will start eating. And then he went out to find food, and he was sitting under a tree, and then a certain lady came, and she was trying to offer some food to a god in the tree. That means those days there were people who prayed to gods in trees. Like today, some people pray to the gods in the Bodhi tree. So those days they prayed to these gods also. It's simply that same habit that has come today. But anyway, when she brought the food to make the offering, he saw the Buddha sitting. And what happened was, she thought this was that god from the tree who is sitting there and made the offering. So he accepted the offering, and then he, of course, went back to the forest, and he just sat and relaxed. That's all that he did. And he was able to recall that when he was a small child, he relaxed and focused on the breathing, just as you did today. Just focused on the breathing. And as he focused on the breathing, the mind calmed down, the body relaxed, and he entered the first jhana. Then from the first jhana he went to the second, from the second he went to the third, from the third he went to the fourth, from the fourth he went to the sphere of the realm of infinite space, then to the realm of infinite awareness, then to the realm of nothingness, and then to that realm of neither sensation nor no sensation. And then he went automatically further into that state called the cessation of sensations and feelings. That was the end of his journey. He couldn't go beyond that because the mind had stopped completely. And he was not aware of anything. That is the stopping of the mind. When a person enters that state, the person is like a dead body. The only difference between the dead body and this person is, in the dead body, there there is a temperature. I mean, in the dead body there is no temperature. It's cold. And also, the fundamental, what is called the metabolic activity goes on. The what is called Ayu Sankhar, that is called Ayu Sankhar. The heat in the body is called Ushna. The Ushna and the Ayu Sankhar is absent in the dead body, whereas in his body at that moment, those two things were present. The physical activity in the body was there, which keeps the life going. And the temperature was there. But the mental activity was absent. Then, of course, he came back again, because this is not a permanent state. You come back from it automatically. And then, as he woke up from that state, he came back again like climbing down a ladder. He came to that neither sensation nor no sensation, then to the nothingness, the realm of nothingness, then the realm of awareness of awareness, and the realm of infinite space, then the fourth jhana, then the third jhana, then the second jhana, and then the first jhana came back. And as he came back, he saw how the mind is working. Because really he stopped the mind and started the mind. And he saw that it is this mental process that creates the whole world. The whole world that we perceive is created by the mental process. And not only that, that with the coming of the cognitive process, that is the awareness of the world and things like that, that was the cognitive process. And then starts the emotional part. And with the emotional part comes what is called personalizing. Personalizing means you begin to think of ownership, saying, this is mine. Just as a small child, when the child sees a doll or maybe a flower or a ball or whatever, the child begins to think, this is mine, and doesn't want to give it to another person. Now that is personalizing. In the same way, the child begins to personalize the body. This is my leg, this is my arm, this is my body. Personalizing. And by personalizing the body, personalizing the sensation, personalizing the emotions, personalizing the thoughts, you begin to form the concept of a self that exists. So it is the personalizing that leads to the concept of self. And once we have personalized the body, and the body has become myself, what happens? We think in terms of the past, the present, and the future. We think of the birth of the body. And the birth of the body becomes my birth. Because the birth, the body has become the self. And if the body is the self, then the birth of the body becomes my birth. When the body grows old, you think, I am growing old. When the body falls sick, you think, I am falling sick. When the body dies, you think, I am dying. So the birth, the old age, the sickness and the death is the result of the thought, I am. And if we begin to stop this personalizing, if we are not carried away by the emotion, if we stop the personalizing, what happens? The body is not mine. If the body is not mine, the birth of the body is not my birth. The aging of the body is not my aging. The sickness of the body is not my sickness. The death of the body is not my death. With the disappearance of the self, we become immortal, free of death. But this immortality is not eternal life. It is the freedom from the delusion of existence. It is the cessation of existence. That existence is called bhava. The word bhava means existence. And this cessation of existence is called bhava nirodha. And that bhava nirodha is what is called nirvana. Now I put this in simple terms so that you could understand it. This is the awakening of the Buddha. He awakened from the dream of existence. Existence is a dream. We are just dreaming that we are existing. We are not fully awake. So he awoke from this dream of existence.